All right, so what's going on? Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. I'm Combo Breaker 99. And today I got a special guest in the house. She's returning back to the Octagon July 2nd, excuse me, on the Invicta FC card. It's Invicta FC 40, right? I got Chelsea Chandler in the house with me. Thanks for coming on, Chelsea.
No problem. Yeah, anytime.
So first up, just want to ask you how you been doing?
I've been good. I've been training a ton. The corona really didn't really impact me too much. I still trained really hard, and I was ready when they called.
So what was your arrangement as far as with the corona going on? Like, were you just training in private places or garages?
Yeah, well, we have our own gym here, so I was just able to go there. You know, we didn't have people coming in and out, so it was basically the gym I train in, and nobody was there except me and my coach and whatnot, or special people we would bring in. So.
Okay, and everything's been going smooth. Like, you haven't really missed a beat.
No, not at all. Yeah, no, I've been amping it up a little bit, but yeah, no, it's nice. Yeah, it's been really good.
Okay, sounds good. And now, Chelsea, you know, I've been, like I said, I'm a growing fan of you. I've seen all three of your fights, you know, with Invicta. But since you're still coming up, just tell a little bit of, you know, the fans about yourself, you know, how you got into fighting, and then, you know, where it just struck you that you wanted to get into Octagon.
Okay. Well, I was going to school back in, I think, 2009, 2010, and my dad had my whole family go to Thailand to get in shape during the summer. So I took a year off of college and fought over there. I fought five fights. I went 4-1 for Muay Thai. So I lived there for about a year, and then I came back, finished school, and I really missed it. So then when I moved back to Stockton, which is where I grew up, I started training at the Diaz Academy in Lodi. And since then, I just decided to fight.
Why mixed martial arts from Muay Thai? What made you jump to that?
Well, I like jiu-jitsu a lot. When I was in Thailand, to be honest, I tried jiu-jitsu, and it was different over there. You know, it was a bunch of nasty grown men. It was kind of gross, and it's sweaty, and it wasn't in a building. It was outside, and it was really not optimal conditions. So then when I moved back here to Stockton and I trained, it was a different experience. We had the gi, and I kind of just fell in love with it. Jiu-jitsu is what I like the most, but I still do boxing and kickboxing and things like that. But I really love jiu-jitsu.
Oh, okay. You know, I come from a boxing background, and that's one of my bucket lists, is just to try Brazilian jiu-jitsu, because I've never been on the ground before. You know, I always keep it standing, but what was that big difference? Was it a humbling experience for you when you jumped from standing and striking to going to the mat?
I don't know. I had really good teachers. So I really depends on where you're introduced to it. Like I said, in Thailand, it was horrible. I hated it. I did not ever want to do it again. And then I moved back and I tried it here, and it was nice. There were people my size, you know, in the gi, which kind of slows it down a little bit. You have moves you practice, and then you can go live. And I don't know, when I first started, I always grabbed the headlock, and that's kind of something I started with and felt comfortable doing. So then being able to learn new moves and things like that and progress, it's like a challenge. Like every day you learn a new move, and then you can try to do it that day on people. So it's kind of it keeps you interested. You don't get bored, you know. So
how long before you got tapped out the first time? See, I can see myself just getting choked out as soon as I jump in there the first time.
Well, it's kind of funny. So my main coach now, Victor Galdon, I think he was at the first class I was at, and we were doing closed guard drills. So they're on their back and they got their legs wrapped around you, and you're supposed to get out or do something. So I'm sitting there, and I'm all of a sudden, he just grabs both of my arms, throws his legs up, and is double arm barring me. I don't know. That was kind of humbling, because it was super fast. I was okay, tap, you know, But just being able to do that to someone, you know, it gives you a lot of confidence, and you never feel in danger on your back in a fight. You know, like you can have, you're able to stop it, get sweeps and things like that. So, I mean, people get scared of getting tapped out, but I feel like the important thing is learning why that happened and how can you prevent it. What are the moves to counter and get out of it and stuff like that. It's kind of just like a never ending learning experience. You always can, okay, I did this, but what if I did that? You know, you can always think about it like that afterwards, kind of like a math problem.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah. From what I heard, yeah, it's definitely something like you're learning every day. You can never really be comfortable, right?
Yeah, no, you're always learning. And yeah, you're always learning. There's never a day when you get on the mat and you're like, I know everything, because you can always learn something else on the mat.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, you know, I'll keep all that in mind. You know, I'm just taking my little notes from different people about it, you know, so I gotta ask the experts, you know. But another question I got for you, though, like I said, I've seen your fights, you know, all the way up to the last fight. You beat a pair of undefeated fighters. You know, you've been kind of started up a little hot streak. So what was kind of what's been going on in between that time? Why the long layoff? Just kind of
why the long layoff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was supposed to fight in August for Combate Americas. They offered me a fight, and then some stuff happened with the commission, and some paperwork got screwed up, and I got suspended for 9 months. So May 20th is when I was officially allowed to fight. That's why I wasn't in this bantamweight tournament. You know, I was invited to it, but I couldn't participate in it, and which sucked, but, you know, I feel like everything happens for a reason. So now I'm ready to look past all that and, you know, start. I want to get constant fights and not have such long layoffs. Before that, it was fighting every 6 months. And for me, I kind of want to be able to fight more often. And I think being able to have this fight at 45, and they have, a card coming up in September. I'm hoping, you know, fight this one and get a fight right afterwards. But yeah,
that was my next question about, you know, being in that tournament. So yeah, that answers that. But as far as like you know, this long layoff, it just kind of seemed like a blessing in disguise for you, right? Because I see you just staying busy. It seems like you're always staying on it, staying sharp.
I kind of go through phases in training. Like certain time, a couple months, I'll really focus on jiu-jitsu, but I'll still do the kickboxing and the boxing and stuff, and then I'll have couple months of super boxing, and being able to have that time helped me do a lot of kickboxing, so I'm gonna go in there completely different, you know, than I was last time. And every time I fight, I feel like I change. It's always different, you know. So having that time, it's kind of been a blessing in disguise. But I'm looking forward to just coming in there completely brand new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know it was tough, you know, you coming off that high in that last fight, you scored a stoppage win. So I know you was ready to get back in there, right?
Yeah.
So some of the people you trained with before, I seen, you know, I'm a fan of Leslie Smith. Like, how was it working with her? Like, you know, I've been a fan of her when she was Invicta. You know, I know you could learn a lot from somebody like her, right?
Yeah, Leslie's cool. She's a great person. She's a really good training partner, too. She's got a lot of experience, you know, fighting a lot of women, high level women, and she's been fighting forever. So, I really like training with her. And training with Leslie is not like training with other women. Like Leslie, you start training with her, the bells don't matter. You're going the whole time. You probably, we've done where we're doing rounds, and we've done a round for 45 minutes and we haven't stopped, you know, so. And training with her, you know, we'll be doing jujitsu, and then she's got strikes she's throwing, and you're like, okay, yeah, this is a fight right now. So training with her, it's always good, because when I go into the fight, I'm like, no girl's going to be like Leslie, you know, no one's going to constantly come forward and push you like that.
Right.
So, training with her is really nice, because it gives me confidence and it puts me at ease that no one's ever going to have the pressure that she has.
Okay, cool. So she gives you that extra thing in training. So when you get in that fight, you'd be like, okay, you know,
yeah, this ain't nothing. Shit. Yeah.
Yeah. This ain't yeah, nothing. Exactly. Yeah. That's good. Well, that's good. For you, like right now, you know, being a fighter, you know, I know a lot of fighters say, you know, all they can do is just eat, sleep, piss, fight, whatever, you know, like, is that same thing? What's a day in the life of Chelsea like right now, as far as, you know, just getting up and getting into the mind frame?
So, usually when I'm cutting a ton of weight, I'm waking up in the morning doing fasted cardio, and then I'm getting an evening training session in, and my training sessions at night are like maybe 2 hours, 3 hours. But now that, I'm not super dieting, I can do a training session super hard in the morning and at night and not worry about getting injured and things like that. So basically right now I've been going up to Pleasant Hill. I have a van, so I try to go up there the night before and sleep in my van, and I'll go up there, get some jiu-jitsu work and wall stuff, and then I'll drive home after that around 1. So I work out like 11 to 1, come home, rest, and then I go to the gym at 5. And I do a boxing workout with my coach, Felipe Martinez. We usually do try to do 5-minute rounds, so five-minute rounds minimum of straight boxing, you know, moving around, things like that, pad work. And then after that, I'll maybe take a round off. And then we have Gabe, Big Boss Muay Thai, who's been holding pads for me for Muay Thai. So I'll go and do pads with him right after that. So I like to get the stuff in, you know, so I'm not sitting there getting cold, getting hot, getting cold. I try to just go through the whole workout. So I do that, and then afterwards we'll do some wall stuff and things like that. Or other days, if I have sparring, I'll do some warm-ups, and then at night I'll have the sparring and try to do pad work after that. So, okay. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so you stay on it. You know, you're staying on it. You sound busy, like, you know – That's one thing I like to hear about a fighter, you know that really wants to get it. That's something I wanted to ask you too. Like you always seem to have that go get it mentality. You know, you want to fight anybody. I can see that energy, you know, when in your fights. Was that just something you were born with? Or were you always just that type of person with anything?
Yeah, you know, I nobody's scared. But having a bunch of girls, even for this fight, turn it down, say they need more time. I'm just like, you need more time. That means you're scared and you're not ready and you don't want to fight me. So then I literally had no 35ers that wanted to fight me on this card. So had to move up to 45, which, isn't a big deal, 'cause I walk around pretty big, and, I'm excited 'cause this is like the first fight that I'm not going to have to cut 20 plus pounds, you know? So it's going to be interesting. I think I'm going to walk in there. I feel like I'm going to be bigger than her. She's a little taller, but it's going to be a fight where I haven't drained myself, you know, to make the weight. So I think I'm going to come in there a completely different beast with just that aspect, because I'm not killing myself to make the weight.
Mm-hmm. With that being said, too, let me ask you this. Like, do you feel like some women out there, you know, even fighters in general, just kind of cut them, really kill themselves to make certain weights to avoid like the stronger fighter sometimes, you know? I kind of see that, you know, just me being honest, like,
yeah, you know, I feel like, I don't know, because when I've been at the Invicta fights and I see the other bantamweights, mm-hmm. and I look at them and I'm just like, damn, I'm so much bigger than them, I feel like, half the time, like, and my weight cuts aren't where I'm dying, you know, it's not where I'm killing myself, but I don't know. I feel like some of the girls, they cut the weight, and some of the girls don't really cut the weight. And I feel like that's what, like 45, I feel like is the weight class of kind of the lazier girls, you know, the ones that don't want to cut as much weight. Or you've got the big, huge girls like Megan Anderson who are dying to make the weight. So you don't have like a big influx of people right in the middle where that should be their natural weight class. You know, I feel like you've got girls that are moving up, and then you got, because they're lazy and they don't want to cut the weight, and then you got the girls that are huge, you know. So I feel like it's like that in all weight classes, you know. Like some of the girls that I think are 35ers in Invicta should probably be 25ers. But you never know because of the weight cut and how it affects people. So I mean, I don't know. I always feel good at 35, but I think coming to 45 is going to be, I'm going to feel a lot better.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's a big statement for you. Like you said, you know, anybody can get it from those two weight classes, right?
Yeah.
So the majority of your camps too, and actually it's like, do you train with mostly women or do you train with majority of men?
Yeah, you know, in the beginning I literally didn't have a ton of women partners. So it was always with men. And I was getting injured a lot, you know, not when you train, you got to kind of be smart too. And you got to think about it. Like people that are 50 pounds heavier than you, 40 pounds heavier than you, mm-hmm. you got to think like, I'm not going to fight somebody 30, 40, 50 pounds heavier than me in the cage. So as it gets closer to the fight, I try to stay away from people that are way bigger because it's just, it's not realistic and you can get hurt, you know, especially right. with people that don't care.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. So, you know, like, yeah, I've heard that before. People train with somebody bigger, but you'll be dealing with somebody faster. You know, you might deal with somebody faster in a real fight, and that's not going to, you know, really prepare you for that.
Exactly.
What do you think about, like, the whole thing with how things is going with combat sports now as far as, you know, everything from these UFC cards with no crowds there? Is that something that you feel like is going to affect you going into this card on July 2nd where you need that crowd?
You know, I don't know. When I'm fighting, I kind of zone out and I don't hear the crowd anyways. And the only thing that kind of sucks about it is they're only allowing us to have one corner, which sucks, you know, but I feel like it's not going to be a big deal. I'm always nervous before the fight, but when I get in the cage, it all goes away. You know, I don't hear anybody screaming. I hear the my corners and stuff, but I think it's just going to be the same. It's going to feel the same. You know, people are still going to be watching us on TV and I already know that, you know, so it's not like I'm in a room, like I'm in a room with nobody there, but I know everybody's watching, you know, it's still the same pressure.
Right. Yeah. It was a benefit. I seen some fighters using it where, you know, they could hear their corner or they could hear like DC saying certain things and you can see them taking advantage of that. So, I mean, it's kind of a win-win for you, you know, it depends on how you look at it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also, I wanted to ask you this too, just for like other fighters coming up. You know, going into your first fight, your professional debut, you know, lost that. That was a competitive fight. It's Kerry Kennison, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was your reaction to that fight? Like, how did you feel? Like, you know, coming out, were you frustrated? Were you a little like, I want to get back in there?
Yeah. So that fight was. That was the first time I had cut to 135 and I did not recover properly from it. You know, and in the first round she hit me with something and I've been hit with that before and it's never been that devastating, you know? So I put a lot of it, of that fight on my weight cut and my rehydration process. It wasn't good. You know, I have George Lockhart helping me now and, Jenner Lee. So, with Lockhart and Lee, so I have a lot of help with my weight cuts now, and I haven't felt like that in any of my other fights, you know. So of course I want that rematch, but I feel like me and her are on different, you know, different paths. She hasn't even won a fight since she beat me, you know, according to the judges. But the judges that night were all jacked up too. You know, there were a couple other people on that card that got their rematches immediately. Mm-hmm. I think it was for the title fight. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I thought I at least won two rounds that fight, but at the end of the day, I'm not tripping about it. It was a learning experience and going through that, I got professional help with my weight cuts and things like that. So I haven't had any problems since, but, I'm like, it doesn't bother me, you know.
Well, that's good, you know. Definitely, you know, sometimes it can make or break a person, but, you know, we've seen it in the past, you know, some people lose their first fight. Chris Cyborg, I know she did. You can definitely learn from it. So going into this fight, do you know much about your opponent? that you're facing?
Yeah, so I know she's 4-0 as a pro, mm-hmm. but I feel like that's kind of a biased number they're giving. She's got, because her last opponent, I think, was 1-7. The one before that was 1-3. And then she had a girl that was, I think, 0-1, and then a pro debut. So she's been in one organization that kind of babied her, took care of her. And this is not that organization, you know. So I think this is going to be, for me, I feel like this is going to be her pro debut. You know, this is a big step up from the competition she's fought in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, at the end of the day, her number, her 4-0 number, doesn't really scare me. You know, I feel like she fades out in round 2 and 3, and I'm really excited for this matchup. I think it's a good matchup to take going up to 145. You know, she's not like, I don't know. She just, I feel like she's really beatable, and mm-hmm. I'm excited for it.
And you get to get set up to take another O, right?
That's, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That builds yeah. you up. But yeah. Like how does it work with like Invicta as far as your contracts with them? Are you still able to fight with somebody else, or, you know, are you committed to them? How do you work out?
Okay. So their contract states that you're not supposed to fight for anybody else, but Shannon is, she really cares about her athletes. And if you tell her, hey, I want to go fight here, they're giving me a good fight, you know, she's fine with it. So they're very open with their contracts. She really genuinely cares about her athletes. So whatever the athlete wants, she is willing usually to err on the athlete's requests.
Okay, well, that's good. You know, that definitely leaves you open to, you know, face the best. Because I think, you know, sometimes being in one under one umbrella, it kind of limits you to face other competition, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's also hard to get fights too, you know. So sometimes it's nice to have Invicta because they're gonna find you someone, you know. So it's nice with that too.
Yeah. And so overall, as a fighter, Chelsea, like, what's your big goal out of being a fighter? You know, looking at the whole big picture of your career, like, what do you really want out of fighting?
You know, I train with the best, and I honestly feel like I am really good, and I want the Invicta title, and I also want the UFC title. You know, you see Amanda Nunes coming up and coming down, and I think she's super beatable too. So the UFC title would ultimately be my goal. Yeah.
Okay. Like, have you set like a fight plan for yourself? Like, I think I'm ready at this point. Are you going to be like, yo, Dana, you need to start calling at a certain point? Like,
how many? You know, I think I'm ready now, but the problem is the amount of fights I have and how I'm not able to fight as often as I'd like. So I think with a couple more wins, I think a lot of opportunities are going to open up. So I'm just right now focused on one fight and winning that fight, and then whatever comes right after. This is my fourth fight on my four fight contract, so hoping that gets extended, you know, and just being ready for whatever comes, you know, especially right now with this whole coronavirus going through. You see girls getting offered fights on a week notice and things like that. Even like Valentina Shevchenko got into the UFC, I think, on a 10-day notice to fight Sarah Kaufman. So I feel like women, we have it a little easier on times of getting into the UFC, but being ready, I think, is what the thing is. You got to be ready. So I take it very seriously, and I try to be ready all the time for any opportunity that comes, because I know the opportunity is coming. I need to be ready to seize it when it does come.
That was, yeah, I'm glad you said that was good. That was perfectly said, because, yeah, I see a lot of people come in, take these debuts, but they don't take full advantage of it. So, yeah, being ready is important. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like you watch the Gina Mazzani versus the Julia Vila this weekend. I'm like,
yeah,
girl, she got it on, like, I think a week's notice. Props to her for making the weight and whatnot, but she did not look like she should have been in that fight. She wasn't ready. You know, I think it was more of a, hey, they're calling me back to come to the UFC. I should fight again. But I think being ready for those types of things are what's key, because, you know, how good would it have been if she came in and she was ready and she whooped that girl's ass? You know, she's back in the UFC again. Now you don't know what's going to happen. Right. So just being ready for it. And because, you know, when they call you last minute, that other person has, you got to be able to flip the script on them and be ready to go too. So, you know, I try to stay ready.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that all the way. So yeah, like if the UFC did something like the Contender Series again, you know, I mean like the Tough House or either one, I'm sure you would be there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope they do the Tough House. That'd be tight.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
They have no 45ers, and I think in the Tough House setting, it'd be better for me to do 45. Then I'd be able to make the weight every couple weeks, you know, and it wouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, that's something a lot of people have been talking about. Myself, I'm like, you know, they really need a featherweight division right now. You can't go with the same five women at featherweight, you know, call that a division.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I know. Look how fast Felicia Spencer just rose to the top. Two fights, I think she won them, and then she's there. So there's a lot of opportunities right now, especially at that division, because there's not a lot of talent. There's not a lot of women. And then you see, like, girls, I feel like Bia Malecki and a couple other girls that are Macy Shison, who are coming down to 35, who really are 45ers. Like, they're big.
Yeah, they're
and,
big.
And you see them killing themselves to make that weight. So it kind of tells you, like, we need more women at 45, and it shows that we need more women at the end of the day. And I feel like there's a lot of opportunities, especially at 45.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. So coming up fight night July 2nd, what's your plan? How you plan on making that statement?
I feel like the girl's, she's a wrestler, and she's going to try to, you know, run at me like a zombie and take me down. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to keep it standing, but I mean, if we go to the ground, I'm not really tripping, because I believe in my jiu-jitsu. I'm a Caesar Gracie purple belt. So I don't think anything she can do on the ground is going to faze me, you know? So honestly, wherever it goes, I'm ready.
Hey, sounds good. Hey, good luck to you. And but before we do go to I don't want to take up more of your time, but just let everybody know where they can follow you at.
Okay. I have Instagram, ChelseaChan209, ChelseaChan209, and I got a Facebook too. I think it's the same, Chelsea Chan. But yeah, you can hear me on hashtag CB99Talk. Cool.
All right, Chelsea. Well, thanks for your time again, and good luck. And, you know,
you.
Don't be a stranger.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Okay, bye.